Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 324. Even a different arrangement. Every week is different. Different people. Sometimes we have Spencer, sometimes no Spencer, sometimes Dave, no Dave.
Yeah, okay.
This is an odd one for who we're missing. And it's not Adam, because...
It's a very irregular podcast.
It is.
We're very irregular people.
I think we already have our title. Look at that. Well done, Adam.
Well, that's a record.
It is. We might come up with something better later. But.
It's possible.
Okay. Well, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Josh is not here. So. Bailed on us. That's okay. He had stuff to do. And I guess we don't. So. Fair enough.
That's why we're here.
Nothing better to do.
I certainly bet.
Come here and talk to you guys all about
comic books. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Comical type books.
Yes. Yes. See, I was going to...
What, do you got a ghost in here now?
Yeah, maybe.
You heard that, right?
I did, okay. I did. no, I doubt it's a ghost.
Yeah, it's a ghost.
We would have scared him away with the car, so... I'm never going back
maybe
there.
Maybe that's Adam.
Oh! Adam died all those months ago.
Years ago. Because the ghost has been...
It wasn't quite a year.
The car came in.
It
wasn't the car. Yeah. You just
maybe
had a Casper book.
Maybe that's why the car didn't happen.
We did just have... Oh, sorry. Breaking news.
That was a ghost.
Okay. So, I don't remember any news, and I do apologize. I feel bad when I listen to other podcasts, and then they start talking about news, and I'm like...
And you're like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
Crap.
Oh, Dave. Dave had
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. Dave's news.
Apparently in retirement.
Yes.
In the business today. Stuart.
Yep. Him. Okay.
Apparently announced his retirement.
Yes. Spider-Man 800 was his last thing. Apparently slot was too hard on him.
His Marvel work. Ultimate Spider-Man. Ultimate X-Men.
Next Wave. He did it. What event did he do? Fear Itself?
That's Adam's favorite event.
I think it was Fear Itself he did.
Come on,
yeah, real, very solid, really, really good artist. He's been doing Spider-Man for a while, so this was his, 800 was his last. He did part of it. I think there were three or four different artists on the issue, which was the Book of the Week. That was the one everybody was coming looking for to today. That was the book that drove people into the store.
Did it bring civilians in?
A few. Not really. Not like action. I don't think it really brought anything.
A thousand's a big number.
Yeah. And that was more of a celebration where this was just the end of the story arc. So.
Fear Itself. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I looked it up.
So I think, yeah, news, sorry, we're not the best news podcast, so if you're looking for comic book news, yeah.
Go somewhere else.
And if we get it, we're just getting it from, like, what we've read from off of anything else, so it's not like we went out and looked for this.
Well, with the exception of Dave, none of us are journalists.
That's true.
Yeah.
Dave is a professional.
I was so professional, I got laid off. Year and a half ago.
Oh, I was going to say, again?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's news. Well, he's good at this news thing, right? He tells us.
I'm still employed.
Okay, don't scare us like that, Dave.
Damn, Dave, come on, man.
Sorry, everything has to be...
We can't take that. Yeah.
I have to give context to everything. Sorry about that.
And you got to remember.
I don't want to upset my fan out there.
Your fan?
That's right.
If I have one.
And the internet's reactionary, too. You say the wrong thing, and it blows up like a godfather.
Oh, my gosh, it's going to blow up.
The Dave fan base just went crazy.
Yeah.
As soon as this gets on iTunes.
They're going to riot. Dave gets laid off, we riot. Yeah.
Someone
will that one's... Now, I don't know how accurate this news was, but this was surprising.
Andy?
Yeah, that Andrew Lincoln is going to be... He's only going to be on a few episodes on the next season of Walking Dead. Yeah, Walking Dead.
And that's how many... Lauren Cohen's going to be in, too.
Okay, yeah.
I'm assuming you've been watching it?
No.
Okay. So, it ended a little bit different than the comics did in All Out War. Rick spares Negan and he locks him up, but Maggie essentially was like, that wasn't Rick's place to do that, and there's going to be a reckoning, and it was her, Daryl, and Jesus. So there's going to be a little potentially a little conspiracy, and my guess is that might be how Rick meets his end, and probably how she meets her end.
Okay. That'll shake things up.
Yeah, and then Norman Reedus, I guess, will take over as the star of the show.
Okay.
Which I think would have worked better about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does the future hold, do you think, for this show? If all this happens and these characters...
I don't know, because the show itself is... here's the funny thing, because it still gets, like, huge ratings, just not
it's
what it was
getting.
It's
been dropping a lot, though. This season, I know we've... I've talked to people about it. It's really dropped this season from what it was getting.
I guess the other possibility, though, is to do, like... when the Whisperers showed up, they made a picket fence with people's heads.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of killing off Ezekiel, they'll kill off Rick and put his head on a pike.
Yeah.
Spoilers for a 2-year-old comic book.
Yeah. What? Oh.
I know.
Oh.
I know.
Talk about news. You know. Now they know.
Cutting edge.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That's what they used on Rick's head. Okay.
Like, I still enjoy the show, but it's nowhere near as good as it used to be. And in the past couple seasons, I liked it more for Jeffrey Dean Morgan than anything else.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
You mean Batman's dad? Thomas Wayne?
The Thomas Wayne.
I'm so sad that they're not going to make Flashpoint to get him as Thomas Wayne. It's so disappointing.
They still can.
They won't. Although, I think the flip side is that also means you have to bring in Lauren Cohen.
Right.
And
she's going to have nothing to do.
I'm not sure her show's going to
They last. Might both be free, so.
Yeah, I don't know. She bothers me. It's completely irrational. I understand that. But she bothers me. So, I don't know I could take her as the Joker. Oh, sorry. Spoiler for
what?
A 10-year-old
You were such
comic.
A jerk!
We gotta end this before more old things are spoiled.
News, yes.
Remember at the end of Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah. Hey!
What?
Hey, ho! So, that's all I got for news. A little rant. The new previews came out today, and one of the requirements that they're having for the Fantastic Four variants, of which they're doing a gajillion, but especially the Art Germ ones that
That's
everybody's going to want, is it's meet or exceed 300% of Avengers 3. And it's just one of those, you finally have a book doing really well, which Avengers is doing very well for me. And then they make some ridiculous thing, so... Now to get Fantastic Four, you have to do three times what Avengers is doing, and it's just,
Well.
They're not making people happy.
You gotta pat your head, rub your belly at the same time.
Yeah, but if you order 300%,
right.
Can you order all of that cover, or do you have to
order
that for
No,
the
it's 300%
cover?
Of the main cover, and then you can order the other covers.
I thought they went away from doing that.
Yeah, so did I.
They can, never mind.
Yes. You are correct. Now, last time, I think it was on Iron Man, they changed it so that all of the variants counted towards... Well, all of the variants counted towards the ratio variants, like a 1 in 50, a 1 in 100, but not towards...
The gateway
to get them. So, if, like for me, the number, I think, is 225. I can't order 100 of this cover, 100 of that cover, 25 of that. It has to be 225 of the main cover, and then I can order whatever I want on top of that.
I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be excited for the Fantastic
not that many
Four
people.
Coming out. And not with Dan Slott.
No. I don't see him being the big draw to the book.
No.
As opposed to the characters coming back.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that's going to bring people to the book is the fact that if they market it well, which they don't usually, they market it way too early and then people kind of fall off the bandwagon. But I have a feeling that that's going to be what'll bring them. Just the characters are here. I mean, I'm in. Like, and I'm in mainly because like I said, I've said
this
before.
You've been a
big
fan of 2-in-1, though.
Well, yeah, and when...
But a perfect example, 2-in-1 I ordered 35 copies of.
Yeah.
So...
When I was first ready for Dan Slott to leave Spider-Man, when I was like, he's got to go, I was like, what they need to do is put him on Fantastic Four. Give him the Fantastic Four book, because he can write, like, a fun book, and he has a good voice for that.
You burn your bridge.
What? What do you mean when I...
No, he burns his bridge because he's been around for forever. He just didn't give it up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that...
I thought that should have been a while back, but I really didn't think they should have canceled Fantastic Four, but I thought that was kind of stupid. But they
did.
This
may not last very long either, because if Comcast ends up buying Fox, then...
Yeah. We'll see where that goes.
But. Well, the latest rumor on that one is that Disney is increasing their credit line to be able to offset...
You know Disney wants that, though.
Yeah. Well,
big time.
It makes tons of sense for them. You know, not only to get the Fantastic Four and the X-Men back, but the original Star Wars.
Yep.
Plus...
It's also starting to feel a little bit like Prez, where all the corporations are now just one, you know, giant corporation. Because, you know, Amazon taking over everything, and now Disney taking over all media.
How about all media?
Well, several movie studios.
They've always owned several movie
studios. Right, but taking over another one.
Well, I forget what podcast I listened to today, but they brought up a good point, because I guess Solo had a disappointing weekend, I didn't see it. But
yeah,
it ended up only earning like $110 million, which was
I was telling Colin, though, too many of these movies are coming out. Like, it's just, you got Star Wars, you turn around, you got Avengers, you got this... It's just like...
Well, so it's 2 or 3 weeks after Avengers comes out, you drop a Star Wars movie, and it's like, that's...
And on Memorial Day weekend.
They're probably too
like,
close to one another.
Yeah.
Well, Memorial Day weekend makes sense, because that was traditionally when Star Wars movies came out.
Yeah, that's true.
But...
Yeah, you're right.
You're cannibalizing your own audience.
Yeah.
You know, give it space. Although, next month they got Incredibles 2 coming out, so they can't do it then, and then... I think in August they got the Christopher Robin movie, so they ain't come. Or no, they got Ant-Man and the Wasp also coming out.
I'm gonna have that.
So you know, Disney has a pretty full slate.
But it's just insane, and you know, movies are crazy expensive. Like it is not cheap.
Oh, no.
To get to go to a movie, and it's like it's just too much. But what can you do, Colin? We don't make the Colin, you know, comic book selling big bucks.
You're right, you got me there.
Yeah.
I go to movies every night, so.
Yeah. For some reason. Well, nobody said what kind of movie.
That's right. Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's the original inspiration for Cherry.
Yeah. You and Pee Wee Herman, Colin. So what's next, Colin? What's next on the agenda?
Yeah, nothing really. I don't have anything else to talk about that I can think of.
Any questions?
No, we didn't. I had one long email from our friend, Northeast. I forget where he says. Vermont, I want to say. I was talking with him, but mostly telling me I'm being too hard on Marvel and too easy on DC at the same time.
So. That's his question?
No.
Or his statement?
I mean, I
can get him in some cases, like in certain books, I've been big on Marvel 2-in-1.
I think part of it was lateness, where I'd be harder on Marvel for lateness. Here, let me pull that up.
DC is not as late as Marvel is almost.
Not
I mean,
at
the
or Marvel just brings out books like sporadically too. And that's
the Doomsday Clock thing. I mean. That was, but after a while, you know, they told us that was going to be late.
Also depends on how good of a book it is. Oddly enough, like, if a book
Vermont, yeah, he's
is
Vermont,
really
I was
decent,
right.
I can, if it's late, I can still wait on it, because I know I'm looking forward to that book coming out.
Master Race.
Yeah.
That's a good example. That was so good. Okay, I'm willing to
then
wait another month.
Then I was fine, and it didn't bother
me.
But if the book is like, it's okay, and I'm just waiting on this okay book, and I'm just like, okay, or the book hasn't even started. Like, I got two issues into it, and they're like, this one's going to be, like, coming out 3 months later, and I'm just like, why? And then I cancel it. So, there it is a problem.
Well, again,
but their main books are on time.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, they are, there's no problem.
No, that's true. I mean, since Rebirth started, they've had, what, 3 books miss original publication date, and one of them was because of a cover. The book was ready.
Yeah.
The cover was just misprinted.
So he's saying, though, that you in particular are...
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think the thing about it is that there's a... You look at it differently because being a store owner, and we've talked about this before, because you're also seeing the business of how it's run. Sometimes, now I can say that sometimes you might let that get in the way of, like,
yep.
a story, because you're, have you ever had that where you're just kind of mad at somebody, but they did something all right, you're like, well, they still suck. Like, it's just, like, that's kind of the thing. So, it's, like, understandable, but, like, Marvel 2-in-1, like, I've really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I've thought it's been a good Fantastic Four. I think you've been liking it better since you've read it, haven't you, Colin? Marvel 2?
Yeah, I haven't read all of it. I read the first few, but no, it was good.
You didn't care for his Spectacular Spider-Man, where I did. And, but, like, I mean, everybody has their own interest in, in what they like. And, like, I try... Yeah. To balance that out, if I really don't like something, I'm honest, though, that I'm just like, I just didn't like it for this. Now, that doesn't take it away from, like Tim here. If Tim has something that he likes to read and that's what he likes, I'm not going to try to take that away from him.
No.
You know what I mean?
Say my nerdy stuff is
But I will say, yeah, but I'll say, you know, I just didn't care for it. I just didn't get into it. But we all just, you know, function differently on how, you know, what we like and what we don't like. And the thing about it is, now, in business practices...
Well, I'm assuming the gist of the email was, we tend to blast Marvel on some stuff, and then DC kind of announced pulling the same Marvel bullshit, and they didn't get blasted the same way.
So...
The Bendis effect.
So what... I wish there was, like, an in particular, like, thing that they're commenting about, because, like,
well, again,
if it's the price thing, I kind of get it, because, like, it did increase, and they've jumped back and forth for that, but on the other hand, they did keep the books at $2.99 for quite a while,
right.
A lot of them.
I get that, but in less than the last year,
mm-hmm.
your costs have gone up 25%.
Yeah.
The price of the book shouldn't have gone up 25%.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they brought it up to what they owed. But then again, though, you were still saving money with them for a long time before you...
That doesn't... Okay.
But, I mean, all the Marvel's books have all been at $3.99 for how long?
How many Marvel books are on my pull list?
Oh, well, yeah, you don't...
And price affects...
Affects it.
Yeah.
I get you. That makes sense.
But, you know...
Bye, Tim!
See you, Tim. Yeah, you know, but, doing things like variant covers where you have to hit a certain gateway to be able to get it.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
And we call Marvel out on that, so you need to call DC out on that. I get that.
Yeah. Does DC do anything like that, though, usually?
That's what we talked about, was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
Of what?
That DC was going to be doing the gateways, the variants.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. That
Yeah,
they're doing the gateways, and then the prices are going up and things like that. So.
That conversation.
Oh, show up once in a while.
I'm right here.
He does show up once in a while. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's
the
whole problem. I see. I get you.
Well, what do you think, Colin?
No, I agreed with him, and I explained a little bit. Like, I explained the Fantastic Four thing and why it's frustrating, and I said the problem is I don't view it just as that. It's cumulative, and it's like, here's another thing. And another thing, and it does cloud, and again, not towards the books themselves, but towards the company as a whole. Just
yeah.
the hoops we have to jump through to get this stuff.
It does unfortunately mean if DC is doing something and you got to stretch, you're more likely to stretch for them than you would for Marvel.
Yes.
And I completely 100% understand why.
But they really haven't done that. Yeah. But, like, I ordered more Man of Steel 1s because if I matched...
There's returnability on that, though.
Right, because there's returnability. So there was no real risk there.
Right, yeah.
Until Justice League 1, that was the first time they really did the meter exceed and stuff. But they did include the variants in that, so it did work a little bit differently.
Oh, okay. We were talking about with the Fantastic Four, they don't count. But
right, in this one it does. So
yeah, that's okay. Because if there's one cover you want...
You can get it in order, 50-50 between the two. And so I didn't do that, but you can. But yeah, I guess I'll try to be a little more fair. It's just Marvel has a history of screwing us over.
Yeah.
So.
I remember when, I think it was New 52 started. When they announced everything, that things were getting restarted and this and that, you were kind of not too happy with DC at that time. Do you remember that? You were really upset about something that
New 52...
We didn't know what it was exactly, but you heard that they were going... It was something to do with digital.
Oh, one thing, yeah, where they were doing same-day digital, where before it was digital was later. Yeah, that was a thing, and that proved to be not a big deal.
Yeah. You've talked about certain
things. Yeah. But no, I get it. I get what he's saying.
Be a little more positive.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Man.
I will. I will.
Or just be equally as negative.
No, I don't want to be negative. I really don't.
To his point, when another company, treat them all fairly. So if you're going to call one company out for doing something, call them all out for doing that thing.
Fair enough. So.
Yeah.
That's about all I got. Is that Michael Jackson on the Pepsi can?
That is Michael Jackson on Pepsi can. There's three. There's that one.
When it gets cold?
Ray Charles.
When it gets cold, his hair's on fire.
Yeah. Too soon, Adam. Too soon.
Too soon, yeah. I'll give you that.
You'll give me that? He's too soon, but you'll give me that.
So. Oh, it was funny. Just looking over at the action display. Thing I found kind of funny was we had to do returns, was it last week? And I had thought that the Action 2000 hadn't sold nearly as well, but it turns out we had sold a bunch of the damaged
Action
ones. The 2000s Action 1000 cover. The Bermejo.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. And I thought that one hadn't sold as well. Actually, people had just bought the damaged ones. So I had to send back a bunch of those. So and somebody was looking, they're like, that's a lot left. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not a lot left at all.
Not compared to what you started
with. Disregard the two things on the bottom, because those were overages. So all that's what I have left out of 600 and some copies.
Versus
yeah.
what you started off with.
Yeah, I'm thrilled with what's there.
Does that have legs?
Nah, every once in a while we'll sell some, but not with any. We didn't get the civilian traffic that I thought we would. People coming in going, ooh, Action 1000, I heard about this on the news. Let me get this for my son.
Did anybody hear about it on the news?
I saw it on the news, but yeah, it really didn't drive any anybody in.
Well,
I'm also wondering if that's the location, too.
It wasn't on the
could
view.
Be.
That could be, yeah.
But I'm really, because it was funny, I was going to bag them up. I'm like, well, let's make sets of the rest and stuff. I only have one 1930s and one 1960s left. So I'm like, well, we could make a set. So, I'm very, very, very happy with how that sold. So that one did well. I'll check next week to see how Spider-Man 800 did. There's certainly a lot of in folders and stuff like that. So we'll see how that goes.
How much did you order on that?
200, a little over 200.
Or is that just all the variants?
No, it was that was to get the one in 100, the one in 200.
Yeah.
There was no I forget what the discount number was, but I exceeded that. But that was just of the main cover. I forget what it was, but yeah. So between all the variants, but it was funny because I was out of one of the variants and somebody was all upset and he's like, I'm like, look, there were like 11 or 12 variant covers on this. And it's a $10 book. It's not like I could just randomly order 10 of each for the shelf. That's 120 extra copies. That's that's a lot. And
surely wouldn't
that's
be
a
able
lot.
To sell them a cover price if you did
that. Right, and that's a lot of money. So I ordered based on pre-orders and then, you know, plus a few, but not a ton. But I think we're doing okay. I didn't look at the numbers yet, but...
There's something to say about pre-orders.
Yeah.
But the problem is, this isn't the audience for it, because the people who are listening...
Right, that's true.
They're not the ones who
are... Yeah, pre-orders are tough.
Douche nozzles.
Take a little bite.
Don't be a douche nozzle.
No.
No, I wanted to read Aquaman Jabberjaw. And I
okay.
figured you'd have a bunch... on the shelf. And when you didn't, you know what I said? Well, Pat, you should have ordered one. But you didn't.
Oh, so. I should be able to get more of those.
But that's not the point.
Okay.
The point is,
right.
I didn't pre-order.
Right.
It's on me. And I pre-ordered Black Lightning Hong Kong Fooey, because that was the one I really wanted. But then when I looked at Aquaman Jabberjaw again, I said, you know, I probably want that.
That's a Jabberjaw is really a hard one to figure out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because to be honest, I ordered more of that
well,
book than I did of Aquaman.
Do you remember the two shark books that we had? Remember those?
Yeah, right.
You take those.
You're right. Okay, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. Yeah, yeah. What was it? One was white, and the other one was like atoll or something. Yeah.
You would have.
Yeah, I gotta wonder how you order like. Black Lightning Hong Kong Fooey, because Black Lightning doesn't even have another book to gauge off.
Well, it had that 6-issue mini.
I thought that was all real.
I ordered 10 of each cover. That's all I ordered.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was no real thought into it.
But, yeah, I mean, that's, unfortunately, the people that you need to yell at aren't listening to this.
No. Hang on, tell Kitty we need to have a little talk about the car.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It goes vroom vroom.
No, because she borrowed the car last night.
Oh, she
and brought it back, and she left the parking lights on. And I went to get in this morning and had nothing.
Oh.
So that was not cool. $88 and a jump later. I made it to the store quite a bit late.
Fired you. Oh, wait.
Tim has that authority.
Yeah.
He is the comic book sommelier, so
yeah.
He should have that kind of power. Colin, you can't get here on time. Just don't come in at all.
Yeah.
You go home and think about your actions.
But yeah. Yeah, people just gotta let you know. About books.
Yeah, and I was bemoaning that to Jermaine, saying, I give you guys, not you guys, but in general,
no, but
customers,
so many.
What do you do to us?
Well, I mean, you can call, you can email, you can Facebook message, Twitter message, Instagram message, app.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm giving you so many ways to let me know what you want. You can't come in and complain that I don't have what you want. You know, just let me know. I had somebody complaining today that I didn't pull all the Hanna-Barbera's for him. I'm like, how was I supposed to know? Oh, well... Back when the first round came out, well over a year ago, because they did that round, then they did Looney Tunes, then
right.
they did this, and he got those. And I was like, and I'm supposed to remember this? I'm like, why don't you message me on Tuesday when I could have done, why did, I'm
oh,
like,
yeah.
It was like 2:30 today, and I'm like, come on.
No, but, and that's my point. If you don't pre-order, you are running the risk when you walk in the store, you won't have it. And I got nobody to blame other than yourself. Because
it's like, just let me know.
There's so many ways to get a hold of you.
Morse code, smoke signal.
Yeah.
Telegram.
Yeah, so let me know.
Homing pigeon.
Ooh.
That might be difficult because I don't know how they'd get in the store.
They just crashed through the window. I mean, that's what everybody else...
The groundhog did.
Yeah. He dug through. That's what he did.
He dug through.
One day I'm going to find a tunnel under a box and be like... That's what happened.
Yeah. That's where the Fraggles come from.
Yeah. That's why there's a sheepdog in there barking at him. Like, oh, get out of here, you sheepdog.
Maggie.
That's the closest thing that he has.
I thought I saw Uncle Traveling Matt up here one time.
Those Fraggles. They're down there reading comic books, building their homes. I mean, their homes are built out of old...
Spawn number one.
Yeah. It's like, I thought we had a bunch of Spawn here.
Yeah, so
they're now cosplaying and stuff. It's like, what's happening to the Fraggles?
Yeah. It's the Doozers using all the Spawn number ones.
Yeah.
And the death of Superman.
Yeah. I can see those Doozers doing that.
That'd be a mansion. Mm-hmm. All the copies of that.
I don't know.
Did you hear Jamie Foxx is playing Spawn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good choice.
I thought it was, too.
At first, I didn't think... And then... He was on Beach Shazam yesterday.
But do you ever see his face?
What?
Yeah.
Spawn?
Yeah, before he becomes Spawn.
Okay, well, yeah.
He's very similar to Venom, how it kind of just...
I thought he was sewn up and with a shoelace.
He's all scarred, though.
No, he's all scarred and burnt up, but I'm assuming, kind of like they did before, you're going to see him before he became Spawn. Otherwise, it's like, this guy's just a dick. Like, you have to have a reason to root for him.
Yeah.
You know why he loves Wanda and why he's pissed off.
Fair enough. Was the last movie that... Well, it wasn't... I don't remember. I remember seeing it and thinking it wasn't that bad. Just didn't have a cape.
No. Spawn?
Yeah, it only had the cape a little bit. It was too expensive to CGI.
It had the cape, but yeah, not as much.
When they had him standing on something, he had it. But
it was a 90s movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a great movie, but it wasn't a
horror. It was up there with, like, Mortal Kombat and...
Actually, I think I like Spawn better than I like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
There's Todd McFarlane posted photos online. Here he is teaching all the finer points of the Spawn character to...
Yeah, because he's so nuanced.
What was that you said a little bit ago, douche something?
Nozzle.
Oh, yeah. No,
some more back.
Todd McFarlane, whichever word you want to get.
Yeah.
Harsh.
I forget what podcast I was listening to. It might have been the off panel.
Okay.
And it was a full hour.
I'm way behind on him.
Yeah, I did. Greg Rucka was this week.
Oh, okay. It was the Russell Dodderman one I was listening to, and it just got. Wasn't super interesting, just talking about him drawing and stuff. I mean, it's not bad, but I just. Yeah, I was listening to that going to the Three Rivers Con, and on the way back, I was like, it was playing, but I wasn't really listening.
Okay. Yeah, I
lost focus.
Like, I thought he was arrogant before, but he really came off as arrogant for, you know, just him for an hour.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I listened. I listened to the Liefeld. I thought I listened to most of those, but maybe I didn't listen to the McFarlane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care for him. I just don't.
Like, I get it. You did something that hadn't been done before, and certainly without the image model, a lot of the creator-owned stuff probably wouldn't exist in the way that it does. I'm not taking that away from them, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're not that.
Yeah.
You're not
staying right. I like it. So, like, I like Amazing Spider-Man 300, like... The art in it and how Venom was drawn by him. One I know. But him as a person,
right?
I just don't care for him. He just comes off really badly.
Well, it's so Stan Lee. Like, he created a lot.
Yeah.
So if you had that level of arrogance coming from him, you can almost say, all right, he's earned it.
Yeah, Todd McFarlane hasn't really created...
He created Spawn.
He made Venom. But the idea of Venom,
Did he
really
make Venom? Yeah, because he wasn't the writer of the book.
Well, was he... No.
He created the look of him.
Created the look of him.
Yeah.
The idea of that was used... I forget who wrote this stuff, because I remember that book, that storyline jumped all over, because there were a bunch of Spider-Man books at the time. So, like, the book that has, like, the, when he figures out that the suit's an alien, like, that it has kind of a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
It was in, like, one book and this and that. It was just all over the place. But yeah, no, he hasn't really, not enough to be as arrogant as he is, you're right. I don't care.
Oh, yeah, because that was, like, what, 258 when he got rid of the suit.
Yep.
So.
Which is a really good issue of that book, by the way. Because he goes up and he rips it off.
Whoa, spoiler alert for a third girl. I know, right?
But, yeah, it's good. It's a good book.
I was going to say this, but David Michelin.
Uh-huh. Michelini.
Yeah. Michelin was the creator of Venom.
Oh, there you go.
Apparently with Todd McFarlane.
Man, it's like Pop-Up Dave today.
But then, there's a bunch of guys. There's a bunch of guys credited with creating the Black Alien costumes. Roger Stern, Tom DeFalco, Mike Zeck, Ron Frenz.
Yeah,
because the alien suit.
It was just black. It took all those guys to make up a suit that's all black.
At Secret Wars, they knew it was like. They didn't know it was a live-in. He just thought it was like a suit maker.
Right.
And, because. When you've read that, right? That book? Like,
years ago.
So,
yeah.
I think it was Thor, and he comes out, and another guy, and he's just like. There's a machine in here that makes, like, new suits or something. Spider-Man's like, okay, and he must have, like, walked to the wrong machine or something, and he does that and gets the suit. And, but it, like, throughout, like, bunches of issues, that's how comics did, though. Like, you had that issue, and then, like, way later on, you figured out this little part of it. And then way later on, then you figure out this little, but you, it's like, and... Like, DC, their, like, Rebirth issue is doing it really well. That, like, they gave us a bunch of things that could happen, and not all of them have happened yet. Only, like, a couple things have happened from those stories. Like, we still don't know about,
The Three Jokers?
What is it, Saturn Girl?
Yeah.
We still don't know anything about that. We really don't know anything about the Three Jokers. So it's like, they gave us a little bit, but they haven't, like, thrown it all at us at once.
When was the last time we even saw Saturn Girl?
Yeah, exactly. They haven't really... I mean, there might be something
she
that,
was
that
in,
she
like,
showed
an
up
asylum
in.
Asylum or something like that, I think, was the last time we saw her.
Yep. She was in... Was she in Arkham? I think she was in Arkham.
Maybe she was.
Because they, like, there was a thing when they were walking downstairs in, like, Batman or something... And then she was in a cell, and then she, like, walked up to the window or something. And then, what's his name from the JSA?
A guy got killed in a hockey game, and she was saying that it was going to happen. And that's the last time I remember her actually being in a book.
Yeah. And that was, that was Doomsday Clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Doomsday Clock. So it's like little things leading here and there, and it's just, I don't know, I don't think they do that anymore, everything, but I think, I don't necessarily blame comics for that sometimes. I blame the audience, because the audience can't handle, like, waiting, but it's just like, I feel like, I don't know, and maybe I was, like, the last generation, because I'm the youngest one here, maybe I'm, like, the last generation that really is wanting that. Kind of has the patience to sit and wait, you know, for something to happen in a book, but you don't get that in comics anymore.
I learned patience after Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, now you get a movie, like, you get the sequel in the next year.
Well, and not knowing anything that was going to happen after, like, a month before the movie came out, before Return of the Jedi came out, I saw they had an article in Starlog magazine. And it showed, you know, Han Solo on Endor. It's like, oh, I guess he survived. You know, like,
yeah.
He knew he would, but still.
And the internet.
Well,
the internet is messed
did.
Up.
But
you
didn't, yeah. But
you
didn't.
The internet, you have to, like, everything is known, like, because it's just, it's put up there, and how many people know about it immediately. And at that point, if you put up that picture of Han Solo on Endor or whatever, it would have been, you know, you would have waited till that magazine came out. It would have been scheduled for you when that thing came out. It was that month.
Yeah.
You would have read it. They would be like, okay, this is how it was supposed to come out. Now it's like, if it leaks, it goes on the internet and everybody knows about it immediately.
Yeah, you know, where they change what they were going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah.
Because, you miss out on things.
Yeah.
But when...
Bless you.
Bless you.
When I walked out of Infinity War, had I had to wait 3 years to find out what happened, I don't think I could. The way that ended was like, I'm glad I only had to wait a year.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I don't know.
I feel like it just, when you have something like that, it gives you, like, more reason to, like, enjoy it, you know? Like, I feel like that's why a lot of people have enjoyed, like, a lot of the readers have been enjoying stuff out of Rebirth, because it's like, where am I going to find that next, when's that next thing going to start, you know? We had Doomsday Clock, and we had that, and...
Well, then you have George R. R. Martin, who's taken, what, 15 years to write his next
That's
book.
Different. Then, that's like the other side of the, you know, the scale here.
There's patience, but it's not supposed to be a generational patience.
You could see a plan, where with him, there's no plan in sight. I'm sure there is, but he's just like, yeah, whenever, you know.
I'll get to it. Well.
My plan is whenever. It's like, well, that's a plan.
HBO did a better job, I'll just let them finish
Yeah,
I'll
just let them do it. I got it. That's tough. How many books?
Well, it's also tough when at the beginning of the story you're like, incest? Ooh.
Yeah.
And at the end of it you're like, yay, incest!
At first I was like, are we still talking about Star Wars here with Leia?
Yes. Well, the first sequel to Star Wars was a book, Splinters in the Mind's Eye.
I just found that a thrift store.
That got a little incesty.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it just goes to show that George Lucas didn't really have a plan.
Yeah. No, there wasn't a plan.
Well, either that or he didn't...
Or he had a plan and he was just like, everything else was coming out and he just didn't get involved.
He didn't get, quite the tight control on things. Like, oh, yeah, you can't have them two hook up.
But if you did that, you'd be like, well, why? Why? And then it would leak to say, well, something's up here because they can't hook up, so why can't they hook up? Well, they must be something. Then people start making their own things, and that's how it at least happened today.
Fiction happens anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well. Well, who wants to start?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I will start talking about Detective Comics 981, which
really enjoyed that.
Did it conclude his run? Is this the end of his run, or is he still going?
I don't know if it's the end of his run.
It is the end of the arc. Yeah. And really the storyline, if you think about it. It seems like it's the end of that entire thing from the beginning of the book, unless they continue it more about what's happening. I couldn't tell if they left it open for, like, future stories.
Well, they clearly did.
Or if they are continuing from there into a new arc.
So... we find out Clayface is still alive, which is great, because I was pissed that he got killed.
Yeah.
So, I'm...
Spoiler alert!
Yeah.
That's a...
Yeah, but I, you know, I'm glad of that.
No, she's in the book. Spoiler alert.
Cassie...
Yep.
...has confidence now. She's being tutored now.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be okay. She may or may not become the Black Bat, but... that path is kind of there, maybe Batgirl. That plan seems to be there for her.
It seems like it. The entire issue was kind of cool, actually. So, you know, Tim got a look into... Tim as this basically lead OMAC.
Yeah, Bat OMAC.
Yeah, was able to... didn't they call him, like, Batmania or something?
No, I don't think so.
Bat Mana, Bat something. I thought there was another name for it. But they, both him and Batwoman get to both look into, like, the story a little bit, their future, and to see what's something that they missed. And both of them kind of start seeing,
spoiler,
what they've done wrong. Because Spoiler goes in and actually does spoil this whole thing by showing some of the future memories.
Kate does kill Bruce, but it was Bruce's choice, and Bruce had left a message, and Brother Eye just decided, we're going to get rid of that message and kind of make things happen the way I want them to.
But it was just a really, I thought it was a really nice conclusion. Like, everybody seemed, and it never ends that smoothly for Batman.
I don't think it's going to end smoothly.
Well, I mean, enough that, like, you know... He, you know, first they're not all mad at him, which that usually is what happens. Everybody
That's
just
true,
gets
yeah.
mad at him when they walk off.
That's true.
The two, Spoiler and Orphan both get to see, like, alternate timelines of themselves, which they become both.
That was the issue
Batgirl.
Before.
Yeah, which, oh, well, I'm just going through, like, all of the little things
that
they got to see and how it cleared up.
But they saw that, and it leaves them an opening that, as you said, that's a path that they could go on to and do. I have a feeling that it might turn into that maybe, like, there will be more Batgirls. Like, that Barbara, Barbara will lead more these two characters and try to, you know, teach them.
Yeah.
It seems like Batman in this is kind of thinking it's best to just step aside and let them kind of, you know,
do
a little bit of their own thing. Like, he still has a little bit of control because he's Batman.
Yeah.
But enough that, you know, if he
showed
lets
more
go,
trust with Tim than I think he ever did with any of the other Robins.
Yeah, and kind of ending the idea of Batman Eternal, that it...
Yeah.
It's Batman something can that end. He can, yeah, and maybe it's a good thing if he does.
Yeah.
Because if he does, there, you know, Batman's probably the worst thing that the city, you know, the worst thing to send out there, and it could get better.
Yeah.
And that he could, you know. So I thought that was really cool. But yeah, just...
I didn't like... So, I liked that he had the reconciliation with Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kate is going to continue on her path as Batwoman.
Yeah.
Which I think would set up a great Batwoman book.
Yeah.
Or, you know, arcs in the Batwoman book, but
yeah,
they're canceling the Batwoman book.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
I kind of took it as if, with Batwoman, it's almost like it went back. It went backwards. Like, everybody else kind of moved forward, or she was just like, her and her dad were just like, well, we tried that, at least her dad, it didn't work. So I have a laptop now, and we're doing this like we used to do it. And I was just like, okay, that's cool, you know.
Yeah.
So we step back.
Back to basics, I guess, and that's
for
okay.
That character. And I think that, truthfully, I think that's what that character needed. Because I think people like the character as it was. And as Josh was saying, you know, they were making this character out to be almost like the bad guy in two books.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that kind of took her back a little bit to what people liked. And I just thought it was a good ending. This is like... I've really enjoyed Detective, run of Detective, mainly because...
As much as I've liked Tom King, I think I've liked overall the Detective more.
I like this because it seems like an old Batman story from, like, one of the stories before New 52. A lot of the Bat Family stuff, and I think that's really cool that this book focused on that a lot. And
Well, I'm hoping that continues, and Detective stays the Bat Family book.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more Harper Row...
Yep. Who was mentioned but not seen in that issue. I thought that was kind of funny. She was doing something. Was she at school or something? I don't know.
No, she was
making
the working. She works for Leslie Tompkins.
Yeah.
And she was going to come in that night.
Oh, yeah, for her shift.
Yeah.
She had her shift was at that point. That's right.
But, yeah, it was good. I'm just disappointed in what's going to happen with Batwoman. Unless they... Just continue to keep that Detective book, the Bat Family book, in which case we can still get...
I'm not sure what's happening exactly with a lot of books with DC, because it seems like there's certain books that are ending that you wouldn't think would end like that, and people, creatives are changing and stuff like that. So I don't know if it's like, is that it for that? Like we've talked about with what we're going to be talking about here in just a little bit, of Super Sons. Where they're going to have this... it's a maxi series, right?
Which one? Super Sons, yes, 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, that book is ended as well. And we have something coming in the future, just a little bit of a name change and a new number.
Yeah.
We might see more of that with Batwoman. So, if the person's done with it, which I seems odd that they would be done with it, but I don't know. But we'll see. Super Sons, number 16. Did you read that?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed that. I thought it was a good ending.
I did, too.
It almost makes me say I don't think there's a need to have that book, except I really like the interaction between Damian and John.
Yeah. I also like the interaction between them and Cyborg. I don't know. He just seemed really... like, he was their babysitter throughout the whole time.
Yeah, well, Cyborg is kind of in a weird place because he's essentially a Titan that got promoted to Justice League, and I think Damian kind of resents him in some ways for that because he's not part of the Justice League.
Yeah. Well, you know, he wasn't, like, officially... They don't really explain that. Like, he wasn't really promoted.
Like, yeah, you know, it's not like he got called up from the minors.
He was
you're
like
part
brought
of the
in
now.
New 52, and it was just like he was Justice League. Like he was, he was there when they formed. And
you're expanding rosters for the postseason, and Cyborg yeah. got the call up.
Yeah, but it just...
Need to add more, you know, pitching, and so we thought he'd be a good addition.
Yeah, I just, but I don't know. But I like some of their banter back and forth, and the whole thing with how to stop Amazo was to let him just take over Cyborg, and then basically they got the contingency plan to take down the Justice League from Batman's glove.
Mm-hmm.
Because Damian knew it would be programmed into the suit.
Yeah.
And he figured out, okay, this is what you have to do to take down Cyborg. So while the thing hacked into Cyborg and was taking over him, he had a plan to use against Cyborg and trip his system so he would basically eject this,
yeah.
the Amazo. And, which was basically giving him a mini stroke.
Yes.
Which is basically the whole thing. And they were able to do that and stop him and wake up the Justice League. And even Batman was just like, you gave a member of the Justice League a mini-stroke. But,
it happens.
But the moments between the their dads, that was really cool. And they've had a lot of moments at the beginning of this book that were really cool. This series. And, but in this one, they sat and he was basically like, you know, you kids did good. You did a good job. And, you know, even Wonder Woman was like, yeah, they did better than, you know, better than your dads would do. Yeah.
And they saved the Justice League, so.
They were impressed. And Damian softened a little bit, too. You can tell in this at the end of this that he's still Damian.
He is, but he's the relationship has definitely evolved to more of a teammate, friendship type deal versus I'm in charge and you're just a stupid kid that doesn't know anything.
Yes.
Where he was at the beginning of it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a good conclusion. It's great that they were able to make, like, they were, Tomasi and Gleason were both working on Superman, and, you know, Gleason, I know, was on and off with Superman, and then with Art, and then they've worked on this book, and it's just both books were good.
Yes.
Like, they were both really good. And I was really excited for Super Sons to come out when they announced it. And it took a little while longer than the rest, because remember they announced it at the thing where they announced all the Rebirth books, that we were going to get this one called Super Sons, and it was going to be about him. And then it took about, it was like a second, it was part of like a second wave, basically, of Rebirth books. And, but both were good. And it's hard to, like, Superman, we all talk about how good it was. This one was a decent book as well, and they did just a fantastic job. And it's sad that these are ending, but they are. But at least with this one, we are going to get a maxi series out of it later on, and from the same creative. So that will be cool. So, but that's Super Sons number 16. Terrifics number 4. Did you read that?
I did.
I read that too. Yeah.
So I've liked this. I mean, I've really enjoyed this book. I
like this issue better than I liked the last.
Yeah.
Issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one they actually went on kind of on a mission. And their mission was to get Phantom Girl to her planet.
What? BGZTL.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
yeah.
Exactly. More of a sound effect than a name.
Yeah.
But, I love how it starts like a, you know, like one of those movies. It's like, how did we get in this situation, you know?
Right.
Kind of thing. And then just like, then they go back and she tells the story of how they were, you know, Green Lantern showed up, which was talked about in previous issues. Mr. Terrific was going to ask Green Lantern if he can get a message to her planet. And this, you know, she says he showed up, and that we're going to head to this planet now. But they get stuck in a tractor beam of this, like, trash barge, space trash barge. And they get stuck, yeah. And, you know, they get out, and just like in Star Wars, you have the little tentacle monster kind of thing coming out, and it grabs Mr. Terrific, and then they're able to stop it, and they're delayed. They get separated a little bit in the ship, because they can't get separated, like, miles away.
They gotta be within a mile of one another.
And, so they were, you know, able to take down the pirate, well, I guess they're not pirates. I don't know why they were fighting, because they were just on the wrong ship. Like, they had picked them up and mistaken them as trash.
Yeah, but that's...
They were like, no, you can't steal our trash, and they brought guns. I liked how they were all, like, aliens that you would see in, like, Green Lantern.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Tomaru, what's his name?
Ray.
He was in it.
Well, he was.
Well, his race of people, like, he had a pirate thing. There were all sorts of different ones in that pirate, that group, but they get out of there. They go finally get to the planet, and
we find out years have passed.
Like 32
years, I think.
Yeah, and that the mother's older, very, very much older, and the father actually passed away.
Yeah, 7 years before.
And she's just like, and then she feels like, you know, this has all been for nothing. But her mother, in the end, says that she still has her home and her planet, and that it's fine, and it was a good ending, a good book. I can't really say, like, the characters are very Fantastic Four, like.
Oh, yes.
The book itself is very much, like, some sort of, like, I want to say, like, a Silver Age kind of an older book. Silver Age.
For sure, yeah.
It seems like those characters.
I'd say Silver Age,
which,
for sure.
That's where I'd say it.
I thought the characters really started coming together and gelling in this issue.
Yeah. Being more of a team. Well, they finally mentioned the name, didn't they, in this issue? Was that this issue?
Yeah.
That he said, because the Plastic Man was wanting to call him the Plastics or something. And they decided it's terrific.
Of course.
And then he, they also got costumes in, I think, this issue. That's when they got the more Mr. Terrific covers of white and red and black. And
the character stuff was good with Mr. Terrific promising Rex to...
Which is very much like Mr. Fantastic and the thing.
Yeah.
At one moment, I read two of these issues just today of the Terrifics, but in one of them they called the Plastic Man Stretch, which I thought was funny. So I thought that was good, but it's really good. It's really fun. I've enjoyed it.
It's good. I think they're building their own thing, and
I don't think it totally feels like Fantastic Four.
I think a lot of this issue has started to come out of that shadow.
Well, I think a lot of the characters, some of their interactions, are very much like characters of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, all in all, they're their own characters.
Yeah,
still. They're
exactly.
Metamorpho
right.
And Mr. Terrific, and the only thing with Mr. Terrific, he has a little more of an attitude about him.
Yeah.
That I find a little off from his character. How
he wasn't always like that, was he?
No, he just seems very much like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah,
he's very.
I got to get to my lab.
Well, I never thought Reed Richards had that much of an attitude. He was more distracted, and very much like, well, I better go do this because
of this.
I think
the effect
you know?
Is the same though.
Yeah,
where he's just so detached from others.
Yeah, he's detached.
Yeah,
he is very much detached. I just feel like he shows it more and gets a little more like perturbed. About, you know.
Yeah.
But it's good. Are you reading that, Colin?
I am behind. I took home 4 and realized I hadn't read 3.
Yeah,
so.
That's why I had to read the other one, because I didn't realize that either. And then, I'm going to leave one, but I want to talk about Star Wars, number 48, Justice League, Net Justice. I'm holding off of. Star Wars, it didn't end this arc, but It's really confusing because both Darth Vader and this book are both dealing with the Mon Calamari.
Yeah.
And in different time periods. So, like, in Darth Vader, the king, what's his name? I forget. He's got a Mon Cali name. Lee Char.
Right.
He is, like, he gets, like, stranded. The king, because they used like a tidal wave to kind of fight the Empire with, and they were able to swim away, but it kind of got everybody got jumbled, and I think he's probably going to get taken, and that's where this leads into the Star Wars story, which would take years later.
They're looking for a Jedi who's on there or something.
Right? Yeah, but in this one, it's that the king, Lee Char, is in Star Wars. Lee Char has been held captive, and they're wanting. Leia and, you know, the rest of the rebels are wanting to make a deal with the Mon Calamari to use some of their ships
that they use for more, I don't know what they use them for. They're more like transports, but they're wanting to turn them into warships. Mm-hmm. And so they can form a rebel navy, is basically what they, which I don't understand that either, because they're just spaceships. What are they, a navy? Like, they got, you know, unless they are using them in water planets, but I found that odd.
Generally, it's a navy, if it's in space.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what they were wanting, then. I just never heard that used in Star Wars before. That's why it threw me off, because I never heard them call it a navy when they're looking for something. But this is the only ships, I guess,
except
that they have.
Except for they also... Oh, the Empire always uses navy ranks, not...
That's true. The ranks, they do use that. But anyways, so they're needing to get... They're having trouble dealing with, like, the Set leader. It's not the king, because the king's not dead. He was just taken by the Empire. But there's a Set leader that says, no, we're not going to join up with you. And Leia's kind of irritated, but she's like, maybe if we go and set Lee Char free, then he can tell his people we need to do this, and then we can move this along. So they, you know, hatch this plan to get, you know, the Grand Moff, or not Grand Moff, the Moff, the regular Moff of this area.
Like anything like the Hoff?
Maybe, I don't know.
Don't hassle the Moff?
Same guy, yeah, that's David Hasselhoff. No, but they're able to kidnap him to use his identification for getting into this prison.
Yeah, well, they have that shapeshifter.
And then they change the shapeshifter. Takes over as the Moff,
right.
And goes to the space opera, where people in this galaxy love to watch bubble operas. I don't know what it is.
It's always an opera.
It's always a bubble, you know, they're always in bubbles, and it's an opera. They just love it. So while he's distracting them, and they have the real Moff, they are able to break into the prison, and they get there, and Luke basically is like, well, that went easy, and it turned out when they opened the thing that the only reason why they were keeping him there was that they were keeping him alive, so they can't move him because he was dying.
Right.
So Lee Char is just like, well, he's like, just record me, you know, saying this is okay, this is cool, we're going to do this. So he's able to do that. They go find a droid. Any droid that records, I guess. I don't know. Like, they're using this droid as like a camcorder. And they record him, Lee Char, like, talking about, like, you know, saying, okay, it's all right, do it, you know, people of Mount Cali. And then the guards come in, the stormtroopers, and they just shoot up the place, and everybody dodges, but the guy sitting on the table is dying, so he takes the shot. It looks like the Moff took some shots, too. And they escape, but they got the video card or whatever, and they, you know, were able to fly off, and they met up on this island and talked to the guy, and the guy who's leading the Mon Calamari, and he's just like, give me that, you know, it's my people, it's not your people, we'll take care of this. So Leia and them, they leave, and Leia's like, well, there goes that, he's not gonna show the message. And he does, he shows the message to his people, but he does it in such a way that's just like bad planning, because he shows it across, like, their whole city,
mm-hmm.
while the Empire's occupying the area. And then they all watch it, and they're just like, and they see the video of the stormtroopers shooting their king, and they lose it.
Oh.
And then they start rioting, and whenever that starts up, then they call in the destroyers and all that to the planet. And, so that's where it left off. So it's not done. Sure. Not a bad story. I've kind of liked it. It's kind of cool because, like, Lee Char is a character that they put in place in the Clone Wars cartoon. That there was this episode where you had... there's two races on Mon Cali. There's the Mon Calamari, and then there's another fish race that nobody cares about. And they were at war during the Clone Wars. And it took, like, this Lee Char... to, like, unify them, and then he's been king since then. So they've worked that all the way up into this story and the Darth Vader book and all that. So it's been really cool that they're connecting stuff, and because taking away the expanded universe, they at least left some things, and they're expanding on it in their own way right now. So I think that's kind of cool. But, no, Star Wars was not too bad. And that's all I'm going to talk about right now. And that's all I had to say about that.
Okay, Forrest.
Fire away, Pat.
All right, Silencer. You still reading that column?
No, I'm with
you. Has the artist changed in this the issue you read yet?
It does look like it's changed.
Okay.
So, do you remember in the first issue where they're in a diner and she stands up and tells her kid to, you know, turn around and hide, and she pulls out the gun and starts blasting somebody?
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of the first panels of the book.
Okay.
That's where we're at. Like, it kind of worked its way back to that point.
A lot of books have done that lately.
Yeah. What we find out is, so, the Civil War inside Leviathan was indirectly started by Silencer. She killed, I don't know if it was their accountant, it was some high-ranking member, an underboss or something like that, who was trying to blackmail Leviathan to get out of it. And when that happened, you know, kind of nobody trusts anybody now. So there's just one civil war. So she is essentially, they want to kill her to end the civil war. And so she's on the run now to try to protect her family. And ultimately, that's all she wants is to be out of Leviathan, too.
I don't understand the group Leviathan. Because I think it's just, it was complicated because Grant Morrison thought it up. Because does it have leadership? Does it have, like...
It seems like Talia is the head of it.
Yeah.
And then that there's
but it
a
seems
bunch
like
of,
it all fell apart when Batman took it down. Like, but it seems fine.
I don't, I, that's just it.
Did he
I don't
ever
think,
take it down?
No, he didn't take it down. It went underground.
Okay.
But it never actually went away. It just, you know, he kind of made it...
That makes more sense.
Disappear a little bit.
Yeah, it just seemed kind of odd because I never understood. Because they did. They started talking about it in Super Sons.
Mm-hmm.
When Talia showed up and it mentioned this book. And I was like, how are they still around? But okay.
Yeah. So this continues to be a good book. I'm really enjoying this in terms of the New Age Heroes things.
Yeah.
A
lot of these are good pieces.
Sideways is okay, but it's just okay. I really think this has been a standout one, though.
Cool.
Let's see. Justice League, No Justice.
I read that.
Yeah, I read it.
Glad to see you read something, Colin.
I don't remember it, though, because when I read four
That's
this
why
week,
I, kinda skipped
I was like...
Sorry, Pat.
Wait, what happened? So...
Then we're going to be in trouble, because I read 2 and 3 back-to-back.
So, I know in this issue, I remember they
Starro...
Yeah.
So, Starro was going to be used... They start awakening the trees.
Yeah, that's mainly what this issue is about. That each of them, like... which one do they start with? The prison tree, right? No.
No, that was the first one, because that's where Brainiac 2.0 shows up.
Yeah.
And then originally what they were going to do was try to use him for the plan, and what we find out was Brainiac's original intention was just absorb his memories as well and take him over, so he never knew Brainiac's plan.
Yeah.
Or at least, as far as we can tell, he doesn't know Brainiac's plan. And then they had the...
I know the Wonder Tree... They used the lasso
on. Yeah, the lasso of truth was on that one.
Yeah.
And then they had essentially a much larger collective of cities and lost civilizations.
Yeah.
And Starro and Martian Manhunter were going to work together to wake them up, which I believe would free the tree. And one of the places was...
Tamarant.
Yeah, Tamarant. Which I didn't know that was destroyed and taken.
See, okay, but I think the problem with that is it's the, all the relaunches and crises that have happened over the years that I think in some stories, like, it's been destroyed and she's been, like, lost from her planet, I think.
See, I thought she
some
was jailed because of her sister and then she escaped.
And then some cases it's that she escaped from that... from her planet because her sister took it away. There's just a whole bunch. There was a book. I think it was a Justice League
book, I think, that had, like, a satellite, this character that was, like, keeping, like, almost, like, imprisoning, like, planets. And one of them was Tamaran as well. It was in New 52, and I forget what book that was.
Yeah, I don't remember reading that.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that.
But it's been a good little series. It's actually more interesting than I thought it would be. I wasn't a huge fan of the first issue. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
But I've liked it more as it's gone along.
That's cool. Yeah, I've liked it.
Let's see.
Are these, like, what are they calling them, Titans? Which is kind of confusing because they already have Titans in these books.
Yeah.
But are they in the thing that they found in the Terrifics, like in the first issue of the Terrifics? Is that the same kind of race of creatures?
I don't think so.
It just seems like they were very similar, like they were these Celestrials.
It's possible because,
they're not all glowy like the ones in this are.
I mean, that's one of the concerns I have is, in Metal, they broke the source wall.
Yeah.
And now everything is, oh my god, what's going on behind the source wall?
Yeah.
I think that's where it would have been better to kind of parcel that out over time.
Yep.
Because just because beings came from the other side, well, Lex Luthor's still there, and the Joker's still around, and, you know, like, those guys are all there.
Yeah.
And Moon Knight is the last one I'll talk about. So, in this one, you had a group of people that wanted to call themselves the Collective, and their goal was to become super powerful by balancing each other's traits, and instead you get a giant silly putty monster. It's the best way you can describe it.
Because when he lands on newspaper, he, like, takes up a tip.
Exactly, yeah.
He's like, nah, I'll take this, peanuts.
Good old Charlie Brown.
Good grief.
But then Moon Knight gets sucked up into it, and it seems like all his personalities are now inside of this. So it got really strange, even for a Moon Knight book, where it was almost, like, psychedelic when he gets absorbed, but his personalities are going to be there, and I don't know if this is a way for them to kind of free him up or what, because he was wearing his Moon Knight costume, not the Mr. Knight costume. So, classic Moon Knight. Yeah. But it was good. It was a big departure after the last issue, which was really good and really disturbing. This had more of a light-hearted tone. So, we'll see. Light-hearted tone for a guy that cuts people's faces off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what'd you read, Dave?
New series from Image, Skyward, number 2.
Okay. I read 1, I didn't read 2 yet.
Colin, you didn't read that?
I didn't read 2. I read number 1.
This is what happens when the Earth's gravity suddenly turns off.
It starts getting real. Sorry.
And it starts getting real, and everything is floating. Everything just goes straight up.
Yeah.
The main character is this 20-year-old girl, Willa, and G-Day, they're calling it G-Day when gravity turns off. She was born 20 years ago. She says, oh, she's lived her whole life without any gravity. And
her bones gotta be brittle as hell.
There's, like, so much I can't, like, wrap my head around, like, all the consequences of what if there weren't any gravity.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, in this series, they're, like, they have, like, fire extinguishers on their back that, you know, propel them from building to building because they're all living in, you know, the top of these skyscrapers. And
yeah, the physiology wouldn't work.
Yeah, I didn't even, like, you had the bone thing, I'm sure, how everything would be affected, but...
It's like everything that happens to astronauts that are up in space for...
Yeah, exactly.
6 months, and they shrink, the atrophy...
Scott Kelly, who was there,
his twin brother.
He had changes in his physiology.
Yeah.
From being, you know, up in space for a year or however long he was up there. But this girl's dad is a scientist, and he discovered anomalies in the Earth's gravity, and he knew this was coming, and he says he knows how to fix it. And this issue introduces the streets, which is basically all the rich people who are living in denial that the gravity is off, and they wear these mag boots.
They're in denial that the gravity's off. Yeah. They're wearing mag boots.
They're wearing mag boots to keep them tethered to the ground.
Well, then they shouldn't be in denial that gravity's off.
Well, they just don't want to live. They just want to pretend it's like still around. Gravity's still around.
Okay, so they're not like flat earthers or anything like that.
They just don't want to. Some people have embraced this, and they haven't embraced it.
Okay, so it's more like they're not deniers.
They're not deniers. They know it's off. Okay. They just don't want to. They're not embracing, you know, the changes.
They're not accepting it. They're not accepting it.
Yeah, the changes in this world.
I'm wearing bag boots.
her father's partner, who worked with him on this project about the Earth's gravity, he's living down in the streets, so Willa goes down there to try to find them and tries to blend in with those people. But it's been really good. It's a cool concept.
Got a good beat. You can dance to it.
And then I can dance to it. Which I do after.
Okay.
After reading it?
Not that anybody wants to see that, but
he does the merengue.
Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 2.
But selling really, really well.
It's really good. This issue is kind of focusing on Jeff Lemire's version of, like, the Dark Heroes. You feel more like the DC Universe heroes. But Lucy Weber, she's the all-new Black Hammer, the original Black Hammer's daughter. And she disappears into this place called the Anteroom, which is kind of like a bar for monsters and misfits. And, you know, the bartender, in this issue, the bartender takes her to hell. And she meets the devil and this Golden Age hero named Jack Sabbath, which I like that name. It's a clever name. And she also goes to the land of Nod, where she meets, on the last page, Jeff Lemire's version of Dream.
Oh, okay.
And back in the town, Golden Gale and Barbalian, they're in the library searching for clues, and there's a big revelation that Golden Gale once is dating Black Hammer's biggest arch-villain, Sherlock Frankenstein.
Nothing good can come from that.
Which we just had the miniseries about Sherlock Frankenstein. And nothing good can't come from that. But, this is a great series. Love the characters. And finally, Star Wars Annual, number 4.
Did you read that, Adam?
Nope.
This issue is not all about, but it's half about pod racing. Luke gets the pod. Thank you.
That's called pod racing.
Because Luke gets the pod race in this issue.
Luke's a pod racer now?
This issue takes place after around Star Wars number 8, way back in Star Wars number 8.
Finally got power converted.
Yeah. Went to the Tashi Station.
Yeah. So he's like, finally. They need to just have an issue of Star Wars where he finally gets to the Tashi Station and gets
his power converters.
He's just like, oh no, that's it. Just one shot. And then it'll be on the wall one day over here with a sticky note on saying, this is the issue where the first power converters.
First appearance of power converters.
Oh, well.
Still waiting for the first appearance of Matty Bothans.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
This issue features Sienna Staros, or who was married to, kind of fake married to Han Solo.
Yeah.
And she is, she was contracted to find this ancient Sith lightsaber, but it's in two parts, and she, like, gives half to this collector and other half to the Empire. So the Empire's looking after the other, looking for the other half. And then Luke kind of finds the other half, and he can feel the dark side of the Force just by touching, just by holding the lightsaber and using it when he gets in a little scrap before he goes pod racing. And Darth Vader gets to watch the pod race.
He's such a proud father.
And he thinks back to his he thinks back to his proud pod racing days.
Like, my son.
And of course, you know, Luke's the only human they've ever seen win this particular pod race, because
he's the first
only Skywalkers can pod race.
That's true.
Darth Vader's humming "Cats in the Cradle."
I know. Thinking about going pod racing together.
Yeah, that's right.
That's funny. I didn't put it all together when I saw it. I'm looking at it like it's just an iPhone character.
So I think it was actually pretty good. It was actually a pretty good story for an annual. For a Star Wars annual, because I don't think last year's was too good. Yeah.
Didn't want to distract you, but Rob Liefeld just introduced a new character named The Pouch.
Oh, is that new?
He's a bunch of pouches.
Even his gun has is made out of pouches. That's
what of course, duh.
No feet, though.
The best.
Notice where they cut it off. Yeah, no feet.
Yeah. They'd be pouches.
The Pouch.
He didn't have control pouch feet.
I'm done.
You're done? You can't do any more?
I can't compete with the Pouch.
Okay. Holy cow. I read five more that nobody else talked about?
What'd you read?
I'm shocked. I'm bewildered and bemused. Black Panther number one.
In space.
It was really weird. It was basically a 70s sci-fi movie. Black Panther doesn't know who he is.
Like Battle
can't
Beyond,
remember.
Yeah, Battle Beyond the Stars.
I'm thinking more like Logan's Run. Okay. Just
oh, that's not good. He's gonna die then.
He doesn't know who he is, but he's having these visions, and somebody's there, and M'Baku is also there, but he's just like a heavy with a big laser gun, and Black T'Challa is working in the mines on this planet along with a bunch of other aliens, and just stuff like that. It was just like standard sci-fi. It had absolutely nothing to do with Black Panther. It was really weird.
Well, you know, it's not like they had a hit movie that they
right. It's like that. That's what was the most confusing part of it. If you were a big fan of the movie and you came and you got this issue, you'd be very, very confused because it has the character is not the same character. It was very, very
Tom, you
odd.
You can't plan these things.
Yeah, it was just really, really odd. Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And one other problem, and this isn't fair to this book, but it had the same artist as Avengers Standoff, whatever, the one
Pleasant
where...
Pleasant Hill?
Yeah, same artist, so it kept having that feel to it. And that didn't. I didn't have real fond memories
wasn't
from that storyline.
Like the Wayward Pines.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I didn't have real strong memories of that. So it was just really weird reading it.
Seems like an odd art style though for a sci-fi book.
Yeah. Brothers Dracul. That was really good. At the end of the first one, they go into this cave. The two brothers. The father had not supported the king in some fight, so he's taking them all prisoner. And these two brothers, the brothers Dracul, are teamed up with the king's son, and they go into this cave. For some reason, like, all the villagers are gone, and they go into this cave. Well, it turns out there's this, like, ancient vampire-type creature in there. that they then have to face off, and that's how issue one ends. And so this one starts off with the actual fight. And it turns out the one brother is really good with the arrow, where the other one is more of a fighter, you know, like with a sword type, and they end up killing this thing, whereas the son didn't do anything. And then when they leave, they realize it was a challenge for the son, so they have to give him all the credit for killing the vampire and all this stuff. And, you know, somebody notices that, you know, the son didn't have any blood, and it turns out that none of them were supposed to survive this. The son was being sent in there to try to toughen up, but he clearly didn't, and the two sons, you know too much and stuff. So it looks like this is how this is going to kind of go forward with these characters having to fight all these, you know, supposed to die with all these vampires. But it was good. Immortal Men number 2. Did we talk about this? Because we had it came in damaged before, and then we finally got the good copies in. Well, I finally read it. Wow, either I don't remember anything that happened in number 1, or they didn't really jive. It's very confusing in the sense of there's these ancient people. There's a mortal man and a mortal woman, and they're at war with one another, and a mortal man only has so many underlings fighting still for him. But yet there's this other woman character. So then it gets really confusing where she's not immortal woman, and I got very confused.
So who's immortal?
I got very, very confused.
Are you immortal?
No. Oh. So, just, yeah, it was just confusing.
I'm immortal. I haven't signed any Blood of Kings.
Iron Man 600. Iron Man 600 was good. Really good. The way the last issue, 599, finished with Tony meeting his real mom, because he'd been adopted, and it turns out that Mom was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and she fell in love with his dad, who she thought was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, but he was actually a Hydra agent.
So was she.
So, well, no, she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
So she was a Hydra agent.
No, she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. This is before. This is, you know, they're ancient now. They're in their 50s.
Right, S.H.I.E.L.D. was Hydra from the beginning.
That's
right. Okay. But, so, she's pregnant, and she finds this out, and she stabs him in the neck, and she assumed he died, but he didn't die. So he's been living in hiding all this time. Whereas kind of so is she, or at least Tony Stark didn't know who she was.
So Peter and Tony now have something in common.
Right? Right. Now, Tony has felt guilt-racked since Rhodey died, because it was his fault, I don't know how, where he was killed by Thanos at the beginning of Civil War. So he goes and he digs up Rhodey and uses the same technology that he used to reboot himself, and he reboots Rhodey. Yes, never mind that maybe organs had been removed and embalmed and all that stuff. Disregard that.
Because comics.
Yes, because comics, and now Rhodey's back as well. So basically then there's this big fight going...
So we're back to Uncle Ben.
There's this big fight going on, and so it's all the armor characters get together to thwart it.
Armor war.
Yeah, kind of. But it was well done. It was Bendis' last book at Marvel, but I may not have sold it well enough, but I thought it was very well done.
Oh, nice.
It was a lot thicker.
No, but I mean, yeah, it was a big oversized, but it was good. I enjoyed it. Having not read much of the series, there was some interesting stuff with Miles and Riri. Like, all his characters magically appeared in
wasn't
this.
Wasn't there something with Doom?
Yes, okay. Doom was in there fighting somebody, he was fighting somebody, and you didn't think he was going to make it, because this other guy was really powerful. But he was kind of mocking Doom, saying, you know, how dare you, you know, why did you wear the armor, all this stuff. But it was good. Yeah, who was they fighting? I forget who the bad guy was. But it was good.
So is that the end of this?
Yeah, now we get Tony Stark Iron Man by Dan Slott.
So, okay.
So that's coming.
Doing that, too?
Yeah.
There's two Iron Man books.
Right? Yeah. And so, one Iron Man book, but he's doing that in Fantastic Four.
Oh, so, okay.
And then the last one I read was Flash 47, which was the beginning of Flash War.
That was really good.
I thought that was really good. The Howard Porter art I enjoyed. But basically, Wally and Barry have kind of been
At odds,
yeah.
That's why I wish I'd read.
Right, yeah. They'd been kind of fighting, and
is it because of Speed Buggy?
Something was wrong. Something was wrong with Wally, and it goes back to all of a sudden he's getting. Oh no, that was at the very end.
I think the problem is that I almost feel like he thinks, and again, because I haven't been reading the book, that he felt like Barry hadn't been doing enough to help him kind of
reacclimate since coming back from rebirth.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the science police from the 25th century show up, and it's the Rogues.
The Renegades.
Renegades, there. Yeah. They're not Rogues. They're Renegades, and it's Commander Cold, and everybody was just a little bit off. It wasn't the
Rogue.
Yeah. It was a mirror. Yeah, but everybody's mirror, like a little different.
Commander Mirror or something.
And like they're coming to take them in, and after a lot of fighting and everything, they decide to, okay, you can take us in, take us to the 25th century. And they go, but for some reason, Wally doesn't make it. He gets detoured somehow. Something happened. There was some chronal anomaly. And he goes somewhere else, but all of a sudden now he has visions of Linda and his kids and all this stuff that he had forgotten or, you know, wasn't told to him. So that's going to start the Flash War. But it was quite good. It was very enjoyable. And I haven't read Flash in a long time, here and there. But I thought it was quite good.
Well, they were taking Irish back to the 25th century for killing Thawne.
Yes,
and
yes.
And Hunter Zolomon is the
that's
one that
right.
was waiting
that's
for.
That's right,
which, it was Hunter Zolomon, but he was wearing Thawne's costume.
Right, to make things really confusing.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's all I read. That's six.
That's it, Colin.
I'll take a little pass. That was it. Jerk.
Why? Why are you being so mean?
You had the attitude. Oh. So, that's about all I got. I'm a little poop.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
You got a
next week? No, I pooped, and I need to go home because we're filming the TV show in the morning, so I got to go home and get ready for that. So,
makeup. It's
good
stuff.
That we're finishing up a little early. No, not the makeup. What I'm going to say.
Oh.
So, next week, it's an Ant-Man week. We have Ant-Man and the Wasp, number one, along with Ant-Man and Wasp Living Legends, number one. Yay! Batman 48, I think we're finally really getting down to the beginning of the wedding. We have Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Nightwing versus Hush, and I do just want to interject here. I didn't know what to expect out of these. I remember there was the Road to Batman Return before with the Bruce Wayne, and they were just kind of eh. I read the first one was the Damien Ra's al Ghul that came out today. I really liked it. It was really, really good.
Cool.
Brother Nash, I'm not 100% sure who that one's from, but that's coming out. Selly's is one from Lion Forge. We have the Dark Knight Metal Deluxe Edition hardcover, so if you were waiting for it, it's here. Dazzler X Song number one. This is just a one shot about Dazzler. DC Nation number one. This is going to be the first actual little news thing they have that they tried long ago at the beginning of Rebirth.
DC Current
Direction. Yeah, that's what this is. This is coming. We have Deadpool number one because I know you couldn't wait. I'm glad you're jumping back on this one, Pat. That makes me happy.
Am I?
Yeah.
Is it $38?
It is not. It's only $4.99. We have Death or Glory number two. I really like number one. Doctor Strange gets a new number one because it's Doctor Strange.
How strange is it?
In space. Oh,
oh
Pat,
seriously?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
I think it's Mark Waid.
Mark Waid doing it. Yes, Doctor Strange in space.
Be in space?
Hey, pretty much, yeah.
Punisher was in space.
Yep.
That. Okay, you know I read every Punisher book. I dropped that one after issue one.
So did I. That was awful. We have Exit Stage Left, the Snagglepuss Chronicles last issue.
I'm afraid to read that last issue. The way the last two have been, it's like, what else can they do?
Fair enough. So Halo Collateral Damage, number one.
Some drugs after that one.
Hunt for Wolverine, Weapon Lost. I'm getting more number ones, and number two is coming in next week. We have Immortal Hulk. We have Infinity Countdown number four.
How can it be Immortal Hulk when he's already been killed?
Well, he's back, and that's why he
doesn't make him immortal.
Well,
he's like the
if you can't kill him, that makes it him immortal.
But he died.
He's the undead.
But he got better.
So he should be the resurrected Hulk.
Fair enough.
He's undead.
We have Justice League number one.
Zombie Hulk, yeah.
We have Man of Steel number two. First one came out today. We have nothing on this page. Did I make a mistake? Quickly look, quickly look. Oh, we have the Pop Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Mr. Rogers figure.
Nice, that came in quick.
It did.
Hello, neighbor.
we have Sword Daughter number one. I'm not sure what this is. A Dark Horse one, though. I want to say it's Brian Wood. I think.
Oh, really?
I'm not a positive, but I think. We have a bunch of stuff that I really hope somebody ordered. Unexpected number one, which I think is the last of the Age of Heroes books. We have Vagrant Queen, which is one from Vault, who's doing a lot of really good stuff. Walking Dead, number 180. Wasted Space, number two. This is a Vault one, too, as well as Second Print. They were really good. The Derek Robertson one was a homage to Crisis 8, you know, holding dead Supergirl. So it's that. So that's it for next week. It's a big week. There's just not a lot of new number ones, but there's a lot of stuff coming out next week. So that's all I got. As always, you can find us here. Oh, and exciting news. They should be starting construction Monday on the wall. So that's my hope. I guess I got to be here, huh?
Build that wall.
I better be here to build that wall. Yeah. Thanks, Adam. Preach. But you can find me here at the store or PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Instagram and Twitter are both PGH Comics. The book for this month for book club is We Can Never Go Home, my introduction to Matthew Rosenberg. And Black Mask. Black Mask, yeah, a company that I really, really enjoy. Very happy with them. I haven't figured out what we're doing for the month for Double Points. So I will think about that tomorrow and come up with something for Friday. Yeah, I got one day. We'll figure that out. Oh, what?
All Han Solo books.
Ant-Man books, since the Ant-Man's coming
out. That's what I was thinking about,
there you go.
Yeah.
We have two books.
Both there you go. Yeah, all four of them. Here you go.
Ants and dinosaurs for Jurassic Park.
The Jurassic Park books are on.
Yeah, that are all out of print. Yeah. Okay, this isn't working. Okay. So we will talk at you next week. I promise to read more. I've already read three for next week. So I'll keep going.
Slow down.
Nope, I'm not going to slow down. And I forgot to take Doomsday Clock home, which was devastating when I pulled all the books out to start reading last night. That was the one I was most looking for. Exactly. So we will talk at you next week. I don't know. Who hasn't done it in a while? Pat.
That's podcast.
We'll see you next week.